Hi, and welcome to the Animal Training Academy podcast show, the show for animal training and behavior nerds, where I, Ryan Cartledge, interview the world's most proficient animal training and behavior geeks. We're absolutely thrilled and grateful to have you here with us today. So make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever you're listening to this on so that you don't miss a single episode. Each episode of this show is brought to you on behalf of the ATA membership. And if you like the conversations in this episode, then you're invited to continue them with like-minded behavior nerds within the membership area, which you can find out more about at www.animaltrainingacademy.com. You'll get access to twice monthly live web classes, the back catalog of previous web class replays, plus a huge library of videos and projects to help problem solve your training challenges. Plus, we're a sociable bunch with an exclusive private Facebook group and forum areas. It's like a Netflix social media platform for animal behavior geeks. But we will get started on today's episode where I'm thrilled to welcome back to the Animal Training Academy podcast show for the third time, the amazing Veronica Butelli. Veronica is the founder of Dog Biz, through which she has been helping positive reinforcement dog trainers learn to run successful businesses since 2003. She is the author of multiple books, including How to Run a Dog Business, Putting Your Career Where Your Heart Is, and Minding Your Dog Business, a practical guide to business success for dog professionals. Veronica also writes regular business columns and articles for key dog training industry journals, including those of the US, New Zealand, and Australian APDTs, as well as the PPG. Veronica is a sought-after speaker at conferences and dog training schools across the US and internationally, including her two favorite places to visit and work, New Zealand and Australia. As former Director of Behavior and Training at the San Francisco SPCA, and as a dog training business owner before that, Veronica understands what it means to be a dog trainer firsthand, the daily worries about everything from client compliance to financial security, the unique challenges of a flexible schedule that requires evenings and weekends, and the struggle to balance clients and training with running a business, and to balance all of that with a rich non-work life, her background as a trainer, her business expertise, and her work as an educator put Veronica in a unique position to help professional dog trainers learn to become as skilled in business as they are as trainers. And that means more dogs' lives touched by positive training. And to help support trainers through the beginning of the pandemic, Veronica and her team provided positive reinforcement trainers the world over 6 weeks of group coaching at no charge. That experience, led by popular request, led to the creation of Thrive, a unique ongoing program bringing like-minded trainers together for weekly business teaching and support. This new community approach to building a successful, sustainable, and stress-free business is yielding remarkable results for positive reinforcement trainers, businesses, and lives, as well as for the clients, students, and dogs they serve. So without further ado, it's my very great pleasure to welcome Veronica back to the ATA podcast show today. Veronica, thanks again so much for taking the time to come and hang out with us at Animal Training Academy.
Thank you for having me again. I'm so glad to be with you again, Ryan.
Yeah, thrilled to have you here and thrilled to get this opportunity to have this conversation today. I've been sharing online many of the things we're going to talk about today, and it's really, some of the topics have resonated strongly with our audience, seemingly, and I am excited because, therefore, I think this episode is going to help a lot of people. So to get underway, I thought I'd ask you a question that's come up within our membership before, and that is, how does a listener of this podcast choose a business mentor? There's a ton of people online claiming a ton of things about what they can do to help you become rich and famous. And for those listening, the reason I ask this is because Veronica has kindly been mentoring me this year with Animal Training Academy. And for me, the decision to have Veronica be the person I asked for help was an easy one. Veronica and I have been getting to know each other for a few years now through ATA, where I've learned a lot from her and knew that I resonated with her teaching style. Also, I've seen firsthand the help Veronica has offered others in our industry and the results they're getting. And like I mentioned, when I started to work with you, Veronica, I shared a lot about it on social media and in blog posts, and people started reaching out to me. I was a little bit surprised by how many messages I got asking for advice on where to go for help. So I'm curious to hear from you. What advice might you have for those wanting help? How does one find the, quote, air quotes, best business mentor for them? And how can DogBiz help people out?
Yeah, it's a really good question. You know, on the one hand, business is business. And a lot of the things that work in our industry are going to work in others. And a lot of the things that work in general are going to work in our industry. But that said, my experience is that we are a little quirky. And one of the things that we've heard quite often from our clients and students is that they've tried your general business mentors and coaches and consultants outside of the industry, but that they didn't always get them, you know, that we really are sort of a unique sort of microcosm. And so in general, although I don't think this is a hard and fast rule, in general, I do think that it's wise to look for someone who understands this industry specifically, or at least small businesses. And then I also think I would tend to avoid any kind of hyperbole. You know, I think that there's a lot of, you're saying the promises of being rich and famous. And I think most of us dog trainers aren't going for the famous part. But I think, you know, a lot of those messages about, you know, oh, you're suddenly going to be, you know, a six-figure or an eight-figure or a 10-figure business. I think that most of the time, my inclination is to bypass those huge promises and really look for an organization that is focusing not just on the financial bit, but on the whole work-life balance piece too. Because most of us don't get into this to be wildly financially set. But I also think too often dog trainers don't go in thinking that they can make a really good living too. And so either we shortchange ourselves on the financial part and or we work like crazy and shortchange ourselves on the personal part. And so I think that something that's a little bit more balanced is important. And the last thing I would say is holistic. I think that there are a lot of coaches out there that are promising success by focusing on one thing like social media or one thing like, online marketing or newsletter marketing or, website or search engine optimization. All of those things are important, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with working with specialists. I think that can be really valuable. But if you're looking for a really sustainable, successful, long-term business, working with someone who can look at things from all the angles, and then if there's a particular area that needs a little bit more attention, you can always go with the specialist there. But I think anyone who says this is the one thing that's going to make you wildly successful, I'd be nervous about that, because again, success doesn't just mean financial. It means the whole thing that you've got a successful business that you're actually able to enjoy because it's not running you into the ground.
So if you see an ad for someone leaning on their Ferrari tooting how famous and obviously there's not a goal for many people.
Just think about that for a second. I mean, that's pretty off brand for our industry, right? I mean, if you see that, you have to realize right in that moment that they don't understand what we are and who we are and what we do and what we care. Because the thing is that those of us in this little tiny R+ industry, we're altruistic by nature. I mean, we do this work because we have passion for it. We want to make a difference. My job is to make sure that while R+ trainers are doing what they're passionate about and making a difference, that they're also making a long-term sustainable living too. And so you see those sorts of ads, you just think like, yeah, they obviously don't understand our industry because they don't even know who we are or how to talk to us.
Well, I feel it's the I'm just thinking of some of the conversations we've had in our community, and I'm adding Ryan's interpretation and story on top of that. But knowing how Facebook works and algorithms work and how targeting works, and if someone targets a small business owner, they might end up. Their ad might end up in front of you with that for. I've seen those ads on Facebook. I think it's hilarious. I immediately get turned off when I see those types of things. But
I've got a funny picture in my head trying to imagine a dog trainer trying to get all the gear for teaching a class into the back of their Ferrari to get down to the classroom.
And so a couple of other things I've learned from my experience working with you, and I've had a couple of business mentors over the years, and they've all been incredibly valuable, and they all offer different things. But recently someone came to me and they had a really big challenge with bringing in a new child into their house, and they had lots of animals and they had lots of stress, and they said, oh, should I ask someone from that deals specifically with families and dogs and positive reinforcement? And my advice to them at the time was, go to the best of the best. Like, let's get you talking to Jennifer Shryock. And we connected them, and it just had the most profound impact on this particular person. And the results were really challenging. I'm not going to lie. It was a challenging conversation and a challenging outcome. But I was saying to them, you got to go to the best. Like, shortcut everyone else, go to the best. But I know that not everyone can access Jennifer Shryock and Veronica Butelli and Susan Friedman or Ken Ramirez. And then the other consideration is resources. Obviously, this stuff costs money. How do you kind of juggle knowing if someone's legit?
Yeah. Well, I think, part of it in terms, two thoughts. One, the specific question you asked about knowing if something is legit, I think that authentic content is really important. And so, anyone can, there's the marketing message piece of it. And if that sounds good to you, that's fantastic. What's backing that up? So you go and you look at the authentic content. So I can say that I know what I'm doing. I can say that I'm really good at it. Anyone can do that. But then where's the evidence of that? So, for example, is there a blog? Are there podcasts to listen to or webinars to take a glance at? Are there authentic success stories, testimonials and case studies and, all of that sort of thing, so that it's not just what's being said is possible. I mean, we all have to say this is what we do and, here's how we do it and it works. But what's the evidence that it works? And then I also think that the authentic content is really important too, because you get a sense of someone and whether the personality is a good fit, because there's a lot of different styles of coaching too and styles of mentorship. And so you want to make sure that it really is a good personality fit and style fit. And then also that it jives with your own values and priorities and that sort of thing too. The other thing I would say, you didn't ask specifically, but that piece about, I love your notion about, go to the top, go to the best. But then there's that bit about, but can you? There's resources and can everyone do that? And I have two things to say about that. One is, to anyone who's listening to this thinking, yeah, that's great. That's really awesome, Ryan, that you were able to do that, but I could never do that. I want you to step back and just think about what drives that story, what drives that assumption. I'm really glad that the person who had contacted you about their issues were able to hear what you had to say and say, yes, I want that for myself and I deserve that. The second thing is that sometimes, cost really is a factor. And that's something that, we've struggled with at DogBiz, for all the almost 20 years that we've been operating. I mean, in the one-on-one consulting that we do, it's not astronomical, but it's not cheap either. And it's also, even if it were pennies,
there's a limited amount of time, there's a limited number of people we can serve at a time anyway. And that's just like dog trainers, you know, where there's always that stress where you want to help as many people as possible. And so that's why we've done a lot of the things we've done over the years, like a lot of the writing that we do and a lot of the educational pieces. And so we started Dog Biz University a few years back to give people easier access to our teaching online and at a more affordable rate. But honestly, you know, what you mentioned at the beginning about Thrive, that has been a revelation for us, partly because it gets what we do into a really affordable bracket. But the thing that's been really exciting for us is that we're able to have that kind of impact on a much, much larger group of trainers at once, partly because the format allows for it, but also because one of the things that we're learning and finding is that trainers being able to work together, to not just have access to our teaching, but to form community together has been amazing, the impact that's had on the results that we're seeing in people's business success. And I know I don't have to convince you of that because you know all about community and the impact that it has through ATA. But yeah, so I think that with a little bit of creativity, there are more ways to get access to the top than people might think.
So what exactly is Thrive and how do people get involved?
So when the pandemic started and the industry started collapsing all around the world, and everyone kind of went into a panic, you know, we have been nurturing and caring for this industry, you know, at that point for, you know, 16, 17 years. And we felt a lot of pressure and responsibility to try to do something. And we thought, well, you know, first of all, everyone's income has just dropped out and we don't have the one-on-one capacity to help that many people at once. And so we had a few days where we sat around and just brainstormed. We looked at every possible thing that we could do to try to make a difference. And we decided to try some group coaching because it was the thing we felt that we could, you know, reach the most number of people. And so we just put it out through all the channels that we had that we were going to do this 6-week program. And we were basically just going to pull trainers together all around the world, do the best teaching we could do under the circumstances, trying to figure out, you know, the best way to weather this and to learn together and experiment. And so we did that. And about halfway through, participants started asking us not to stop. And we were so amazed, even just a few weeks in, by what was happening, both in terms of the community that was being built, but also the progress that was already being made that quickly in terms of, you know, sort of staunching the bleeding and slowing the panic and starting to figure some things out and how we could make businesses work during the pandemic. So at the end of it, we created Thrive. And so it's basically a group coaching program. We get together once a week on live Zoom calls. Members have the option of attending live or using replays. And we have several different sessions to choose from each week. We have a different topic every month. And basically, we go through an iterative curriculum where every year we're looking at all of the different pieces that go into making a successful positive reinforcement dog training business and learning to get better and better and better at those things. And one of the things that we really had to do a lot of thinking about, but fortunately, our background in curriculum development was really helpful, is sort of figuring out, like, how do we serve people at tons of different levels and who also may be working at different speeds due to time resources and, you know, just work styles and things like that to help people continue to make progress. And we've been truly shocked to find that we actually are seeing faster, more substantial results through group coaching than even through one-on-one. And we think partly that's because of the sense of community and the extra accountability that creates and the excitement. We also think it's because one of the things we're hearing from Thrive members so much is that they're not feeling alone anymore. And they're also, because, you know, we've been telling people for years that the fears that you have, the concerns you have, the challenges that you're facing, you know, all of that is not, you're not alone in that, because, you know, we've spent all these years talking to trainers one-on-one all around the world, and like, we hear the same things over and over again, but it's different when you get to hear it from your fellow trainers. And I think just that, and watching people try things and be successful, like, people are egging each other on, people are doing things that they've never had, they've just had too much fear to try, and, you know, and they're growing confidence, and it's just, it's been an amazing, just amazing process for us. And so in terms of getting involved in it, we open enrollment just once a year because the community is very tight. And we have you know, really supportive way that we pull new members in. And so we open enrollment once a year, invite people to join, and then incorporate them into the community and go back through the cycle again. And it's been really, really wonderful. We've done that a couple times now, where we've had one open enrollment, we're about to do the next. And it's just been amazing watching, you know, the current members welcome the new set in. And it's been the most edifying. It's honestly been the most edifying thing I've ever done in my career.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And all the hard work and time that's obviously gone into that. And where do people go to find out when that opens and how do they
You go to dogbizsuccess.com/thrive. And we are opening enrollment for 2022 for 1 week in early November. Awesome. But you can go to Thrive. You can go to Thrive, dogbizsuccess.com/thrive and get on the wait list. Anyone on the wait list is insured to get in when we open. That's where you get the first dibs.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to link to all of that in the show notes. And obviously you can navigate to that from your web browsers as well. And I understand the fear and I understand the feeling alone. And there are things that I wanted to talk to you about today. So let's push on. Firstly, thank you for sharing everything so far, Veronica. Earlier, I said that it was easy making a decision to have you be the person that I asked for help. However, we just talked about fear. Asking for help was not necessarily an easy thing to do. In your bio, yeah, you mentioned that you understand the challenges professionals can have with balancing work and non-work life. And this is a challenge that I had when I reached out to you. I used past tense there, but I still have. And when I originally reached out, it was December 2020, so it was nearly a year ago. ATA was running our lives. It was running my life. It was running my family's life. Everything revolved around the business. And having just taken on a brand new role as a father, son is nearly 18 months old now at the time of this recording, this led to, and still since then at times, has led to what I would label as burnout and social panic attacks. And I remember when we caught up for the first time in December, you told me that ATA was potentially in danger, not because of the business model or not because of what ATA did, but because of me and my risk of burnout. And one thing that kind of surprised me at the time, as I've already mentioned, was just sharing this online and how much it resonated with others. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts and what you might want to share with the listeners of this podcast who might have experienced or might currently be experiencing something similar. You've already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are they alone? Is this particular, my case, is it you're like, okay, Ryan, like you are at that stage of your business, you're at that stage of your life, I've seen this before. Am I alone?
Oh, no. You know, again, I think part of the thing for us is that we all come at this from this really altruistic place. We do this partly because we're dog geeks and behavior geeks, but because we love them so much, we want to make this huge difference in their lives. And that often ends up meaning that we don't take the same care of ourselves that we should. And also because we're behavior geeks usually and not business geeks, we don't take on the time to learn to do the business side of things. And so either there's that whole part where you're not as successful yet as you want to be. So there's all of the financial stress and you're crazy working hard and you're saying yes to everything and scheduling people wherever they want because you feel so afraid to say no to anything because you've got to bring the money in. And then, you know, there are people on the other side where you hit the success and it brings its own set of problems, right? You still keep saying yes to everything because you want to help everybody and you don't want to say no to anybody. And you're also, there's all this fear that it could come crashing down at any time, you know, if we don't accommodate everybody else's schedules, if we don't, you know, somehow just cram everything in and say yes to everything, that somehow it all fall apart, or if we, you know, set boundaries or set policies that suddenly people won't want to play with us anymore. And there's, you know, or gosh, you know, raise rates, then all of a sudden, you know, everyone's going to start saying no and running for the hills. And so there's just all this stuff so that it creates all this burnout and all this guilt too. You know, either way, usually it means that people are working too much, don't have enough time for their own dogs. And then plus, you know, if you're on the procrastination side, there's all the guilt about, oh, these other things I should be getting done. And it just, I see it over and over and over again. And it's so painful. And I hear, it doesn't matter what part of the world that I'm in, I hear the same things all the time. I don't take regular weekends. I couldn't possibly take regular weekends. You know, the number of trainers over the lifetime of my career who've told me that they haven't had a vacation in X number of years, which is, you know, sometimes in the double digits, and just this belief that it's not possible to do it, to make the time, that it's not possible to then make enough money to make it possible. The good news is that it's absolutely not true. I mean, it's just absolutely not true. As you're finding yourself, which I could not be happier about, and which, you know, we've helped clients find all these years, and which I'm, you know, delighted to be seeing happen en masse in Thrive now. I mean, the number of Thrive members who are taking regular weekends, we start every session with wins. We take, you know, a few minutes for people to give themselves shout out in the chat about, you know, what they've accomplished this last week. And every single week, the ones that make me the most excited are the big celebratory, I'm going on vacation, I've scheduled my vacation, or I'm doing weekends off now. And it really, really is possible. But unfortunately, in our industry, we have this really strong belief in this story that it isn't. And it worries me because I've been doing this long enough to have seen a lot of trainers burn out and get out of the industry. And that's a shame, because, you know, they lose the thing that they're most passionate about. And there are a whole bunch of dogs that don't have the benefit of working with trainers who burn out early.
You heard me say that I couldn't take regular weekends. So I just want to say a couple of things. Firstly, for those listening, if some of this is resonating with you, and I'm fairly confident that it is, judging on the feedback I've got from sharing this year and what you just shared with us, Veronica. Me talking about this on the podcast, for anyone listening, it's not easy. Like, I understand where you are, and I understand for you that it might not be easy as well. And so when I ask you if you're not alone, I want to ask Veronica if I'm alone or if anyone else is alone. I just want to say that if you're having a hard time, because burnout and these panic attacks, they're horrible in the moment. Yeah. I value them now. I appreciate them because they created opportunity. But they were not fun.
No.
So you're not alone as well, in terms of, I'm sure, wherever you are locally, reaching out and getting help. I sat there in December going, who do I ask for help? Do I ask someone like that knows about mental health, or do I tackle the business side of things, or do I learn how to do some other area of my life? I chose the business side of things, but there are obviously other options as well. And then that brings me to something I wanted to ask as well. The motivating operations for me in December were like, I knew something needed to change. And I wanted to reach out and get business help from you for years, but I didn't because there was competing reinforcers and the motivation wasn't there. And I love that you say that you're having that your Thrive members are having all of this success now. And I wish that I'd found a community like that earlier on. When is the right time to get help? Considering we're dog trainers, we're not business owners.
Yeah. The best answer is yesterday. The second best answer is today. Right? I mean, you know, that it's the thing is that one of the things I like to see the most, so I would say that traditionally 50% of our clients have come to us as they're just getting started in their businesses, and about 50%, you know, roughly, have come to us anywhere after that. It could be, you know, 5 years in, it could be 20 years in. Our Thrive members are a huge mix too, people who are just starting businesses, people who have been running them for 20 plus years. And you know, even members who, you know, who are in there because they're preparing for semi-retirement and wanting to figure out how to do that, right? I mean, just all across the board. I think it's one of those things that I get really excited when somebody comes to us to get help starting, because it's that whole proactive thing. I think about it as how excited we get, you know, as trainers when somebody comes to us before they get their puppy, right? Like, we just, oh gosh, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody did that? Before you got your dog, you went and got, you know, set up and got, you made sure you were ready and all of that, get off on the right paw, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's the same thing with business too. And so the earlier, the better, because I think one of the things that's often challenging, and I imagine you can probably speak to this personally, Ryan, but is when you've been doing something for a long time, it's just the same way when we're working with dog lovers who have had dogs before or who have had this particular dog for a long time, and they hire a dog trainer and we come in and we're like, okay, here are all the things that need to be different. You know, here are all the things that need to change. And it's, change is hard. And so I think the earlier on, the better, because if you come in at the beginning, then you don't have to unlearn things. If you've been doing it for a long time, then still, you know, the sooner you get on the learning curve, the better. And, you know, it doesn't have to be all at once. And, you know, just the same way we work with dog lovers, it can be done, you know, by successive approximations at the pace that is right for you. But the sooner you start, the sooner you get to wherever it is you want to be. You know, one of the things we talk about a lot in Thrive, we have something called a success path. And we basically have sort of identified five stages of business. And the fifth stage, the senior dog stage, is basically a business that is financially successful, that is sustainable in that the success is consistent. You know, the income's not going up and down wildly all the time, you know, creating all that stress. Also sustainable in that there's work-life balance. You're working exactly the amount you want with the clients that you really love. You feel on top of everything. You feel confident about what you're doing. Like, I want that for every positive reinforcement dog trainer out there. And the sooner that you give yourself the gift of paying attention to the business side, the faster you get there. And I think that there's a lot of fear around it. It's certainly not on the surface as fun and sexy as dog behavior. And I think that there's a lot of anxiety around a lot of business topics. But I also think that the sooner you get in, the faster you realize that it doesn't have to be that way, that there are ways of approaching business that can be really in line with your ethics and your comfort zone. And, you know, like any other learning curve, once you get going, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, and I'm finding a lot of that change hard at the moment. I'm doing it, but it's not easy. And I have a lot of anxieties, so I resonate with all of that. Hey, moving forward, I was hoping we could talk about a number of tasks, actions, and strategies that you've suggested to me over the last year or so, what they are and why they're valuable. And I just wanted to add for everyone listening, there is huge value as well. We talked about how to find a mentor today, but there's huge value in having help from someone who understands behavior science. Because Veronica, one thing I really appreciate from working with you is how you've split up the tasks you've got me doing in small, achievable approximations. When we connected, you immediately suggested to me this idea of working towards a master schedule. And to achieve this, and as I mentioned, we worked on this in those small approximations, which I would like to talk about more. But first, I was hoping you could explain to everyone, what is a master schedule? And why is this important? Why was that something you suggested to me?
So a master schedule, the concept is basically that everything that needs doing has its place. Some of us are procrastinators and some of us are workaholics. And either way, it can be really painful and uncomfortable when you've got a whole lot of things that you're trying to juggle, right? So when you procrastinate, there's all these things that pile up and get really stressful. When you're a workaholic, I mean, when you run your own business, there's always something to be done. So there's this feeling of just working all the time, all the time. And it becomes really difficult to give yourself time off in a way that doesn't feel stressful or guilt-laden. And then when we are, you know, I know for me, like when I sit down to work on something, you know, back before I started using a master schedule, I'd sit down, you know, for some desk time, and there's this big, giant to-do list. And I spent the first hour just trying to decide what to pick off of it. Like, you know, what should I work on? And then you finally pick something, and then half of your brain's working on that, and the other half is thinking, is there something else I should be doing instead? You know, all of the pressure of all the other things. And the idea of a master schedule is simply that rather than reacting to the day all the time, in that kind of panicky feeling of all the things that there are to do and what should I prioritize and all of that, you literally create this sort of master layer that goes over your calendar and says, here's how I use Mondays. Here's how I use Tuesdays. Here's how I use Wednesdays. You think about the categories of things that need to be accomplished both in your business and in your personal life. So, and you kind of think about these as categories or blocks. So you might have marketing blocks. You might have admin blocks in your business. You might have training blocks in your business. You might have on your personal side, exercise blocks or time with the dogs or with the family, downtime to do nothing, you know, what a concept. But the idea is that by sort of creating this overarching view of a sort of a typical week in the life of, you see where everything fits so that when something comes up, you go, oh, okay, I know where to put that. I don't have to put it on a to-do list that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and stresses me out, or another sticky note in a huge pile of sticky notes that stress me out. I can just simply say, oh, that goes in the such and so block. And so the next available one on my calendar is X. I'm going to put that thing there. And then I don't have to think about it. I only have to think about the thing I'm doing now. And I will just say, for those of you out here, out there listening to this thinking, oh my God, I could never be that organized, that rigid, that feels constraining. There's not one way to do a master schedule. Some of our clients, some of our Thrive members, some of our students have really, really very solid, kind of rigid master schedules because that's how they work. Others have really flexible ones, and there's all sorts of interesting, really fun kind of tricks that you can use to build a schedule that's a guideline that gives you as much structure as you want without being overbearing, and especially because sometimes there are just constraints in life that demand that kind of flexibility. So I don't want you to think about it necessarily as a constraining thing. It's freeing. One of the things that I love about it most is that you always have the confidence of knowing that whatever it is you're doing right now is the best possible use of your time right now. And also what I love about it too is that if you are a workaholic, if you do tend to feel a lot of guilt when you take downtime, what's really cool is the master schedule gives you permission. It says, you're not supposed to be doing anything right now, or this is your time to go play, do the things that you love to do. And so you can do those without guilt and also without stress because you know that all the other things have their place too. So you don't have to spend your off time worrying about the things that aren't getting done. So that's the sort of the basic concept of a master schedule, even though there are many, many different iterations of what they look like.
I remember mine and wifey's first weekend day. We went to a soft play with Summer where I picked up some virus and got really sick. But
no.
that day was awesome. Me and Sapphire were emotional because we hadn't had that and hadn't had permission to have that in the whole time ATA has been going. 6 years since we had a scheduled weekend day off pretty much together. Yeah. That was an emotional day. One thing I learned early on is that And one of the really important blocks in my schedule every week now is scheduling. I have to sit down schedule my schedule, and I have to put an hour kind of goes by pretty quick trying to plan out the following week, and I found that really hard when I started. And I was like, and that made me realize, how can I find it hard to sit here and think about what I'm going to do? And before, I used to think about that on the day. It blows my mind that I never used to work on a schedule. I have no idea how I got to where I am today. I mean, how important is it to schedule time for scheduling?
It's really important. And it's such a good point. One of the practices that I personally do for my schedule is at the end of each work week, I do what you're describing, is I carve out a little bit of time and I sit, and it's just, you know, it's in my schedule always. And I sit down to look at what got done and how does that compare to what was supposed to get done? Anything that needs to be, you know, deferred or, you know, reworked or given some extra time, et cetera. Take some time to celebrate what got done, because I think that is something that we really don't do. It's something that we've been working a lot together and thrive on, to really spend the time to not focus, you know, just on what needs doing, but to recognize how much we've gotten done. It's the same sort of thing that we ask, you know, so often dog parents are so focused on what their dog's doing wrong that they don't see all the incredible progress that they've made with a trainer. And so it's the same sort of thing of just, you know, giving ourselves the space to celebrate the accomplishments. And then I look at the week ahead and make sure everything's set up for that, make any adjustments that need to be made. And the first thing I do every morning is I spend a few minutes just looking at, right, okay, what did I have scheduled for today? How is this day supposed to go? Because I think a lot of times what we do is we sit down and we just start reacting. We open up email or we look at Facebook and we let somebody else's agenda start to dictate the way the day works. And then we sit there for 2 hours and then realize that not much has gotten done and start to feel panicky. I mean, a big thing for me is just being deliberate. Even all these years into using a master schedule, I still make sure that I remind myself at the beginning of the day what the day is supposed to look like so that the day goes the way I intended it to, instead of just kind of going however it goes. And, it's not that nothing ever pulls it off the rails, but it doesn't happen nearly as often because I'm actually taking control of that. And so, yeah, I think that those scheduling blocks are hugely important. And the whole thing is basically just realizing that we can have so much more control over our day-to-day lives and over our priorities and over how exhausted versus content we feel at the end of the day, just by simply acknowledging that we have more control than we often realize and taking it. And sometimes that's just as simple as scheduling and then being deliberate about following that schedule.
Yeah, it's changed my life for sure. I feel like I'm pretty good at the celebrating the approximations part, but scheduling it so reminds me of training. Like, we don't want to be in front of a learner making decisions while that learner's behaving. We want to have those decisions thought out in advance. And another thing that's really become clear to me when we view our businesses through a behavior lens, doing it in small approximations, celebrating approximations and your wins, but also I'm become really conscious of the contingencies that I've been operating under, and I know this year I've been implementing these suggestions that you've been making in order to try and remove burnout, and I've been so focused on that, and I've changed that recently to I've been adding these things to try and gain access to what I want my life to look like, the relaxation, and it's completely changed how I feel about this thing, and I have to remind myself of that consistently. Is that something that you find with Thrive members as well, the motivation behind getting business help and how to frame that in your mind?
Yeah, we do. We talk in Thrive a lot about goals, but there's sort of different levels of goals. You might have a really specific goal of something you're trying to accomplish, but always looking at that broader bit about why is this important? So you may, there are these little finite goals about, I want to improve my website or create this marketing project or raise my rates or whatnot. But the whole thing is the overarching why of, A, what you want your day-to-day life to look like. And I think sometimes we just don't stop to think about that. again, we don't realize how much control we have over it. Even in situations where there's a lot that's not under our control. I mean, you're just trying to find the pieces that are and the amount of difference that can make.
but then also the sort of bigger picture things. And so I think one of the things that as positive reinforcement trainers, you know, we want to make a real difference in as many dogs' lives as possible. And we want also to kind of, you know, spread this learning about positive reinforcement and what it can do. And I think that that can be hugely motivating when we step back and recognize that some of the things that are uncomfortable, some of the things that maybe we wouldn't give ourselves permission to do just for ourselves, that if we put it through a new perspective, a new lens of realizing, if I do this, then I can serve better. I can serve better. I can serve more. I can serve longer. That I find that often is the thing that pushes people past, you know, that okay, well, you know, I have all of these negative feelings about raising my rates, for example, and charging more, or I have all of these, you know, negative feelings about doing some marketing, or, you know, whatever it is, but that if I can see that it serves this higher purpose, then maybe I can push through the discomfort of the learning curve, or push through, you know, the feelings about whether or not, you know, I'm worthy of that, and, you know, all of those sorts of things too. So whether it's on the sort of more personal emotional side, or whether it's more on a learning curve or discomfort side, I think just sort of thinking outside ourselves about what we're trying to accomplish can make a big difference.
And thank you for sharing all of that. As mentioned, you did such an appreciated job of using behavior science, breaking this process down for me into achievable steps. We've talked about a few of what those things looked like, but one of the really significant changes you suggested to me early on, and you've already mentioned, was to say no more. In fact, originally I basically said no to everything that came my way. People used to send me messages and they used to say, I know you're going to say no to this, but which in hindsight sounds so logical, right? You're burnt out, you have too much on, say no to things. But in practice, this is not an easy thing to do.
Oh, it's hard.
Obviously, though, it really clears your calendar. And it was this suggestion of saying no, which I still practice to this day. I've pretty much said no to everything over the past month as some other needs in my life have come up. And some big opportunities. And those big opportunities, you know, I still think about them a lot. I'm like, oh, man.
Sure.
Paired with a few other ideas that you really helped me think about and implement, saying no to things immediately lightened my load and freed up time. I'm curious to hear from you now, Veronica, though. For those listening who might feel they have too much on, everyone, what immediate steps can someone take to remove some pressure in their business? What immediate steps can people take?
So one of the first things that I recommend doing is the first step of even considering building a master schedule is to list out all of the things that you currently have going, both personal and professional, and to annotate that list. There are various different things notes you want to make on it, but one of them is, you know, how many hours, how much time each thing takes. And then add that all up and see if all of a sudden all of the negative thoughts about, you know, oh God, I'm just not keeping up and I'm so behind and I'm failing and all, if maybe you don't have a little bit more sympathy for yourself when you realize, like, oh, it's not possible. I couldn't do much better than this. Like, you can't fit 80 hours worth of stuff in 40 hours. You just can't. Like, it's not possible. And I think a lot of times what doing that exercise does is it gives us permission to recognize that we actually do have more than is humanly possible, and it's not a personal failure. We've just taken on too much. And then you start going through, when you recognize that, all of a sudden you have two choices. You can continue to operate the way you're going now with all of the stress and, you know, negative feelings and emotions and stuff that go along with that. Or you can make that really deep decision to say, okay, I'm going to go through and prioritize and decide where I'm really going to put the time. Because when we don't do that, what ends up happening a lot of the time is things that are really important get short shrift, right? I can't tell you how many dog trainers have said to me, in private how guilty they feel about not having more time with their own dogs, for example. And so a lot of times the things that are most important are the things that get left behind when we're not deliberate about making those choices. I think the thing that's hardest about this is, as you said, like when you say no, sometimes you say no to really great stuff and that hurts. There's probably nothing on everyone listening today. There is probably nothing on your schedules that is not worth doing. There's probably nothing that does not have some value. It's just that things have different amounts of value. And if not everything fits, then you look at that, you decide what has the most value and then let other things go. Sometimes it's about just saying, I'm going to set this down for now until I can get control of everything and be able to breathe again. And so one technique you can use is to identify things that have value that you are not psychologically ready to just give up and say no to permanently forever, but that you can go and say to the people involved in those obligations, I need to step back and take a break for a little while. And so that you just, you give yourself, you know, some space. You can also look at the option of delegating. Sometimes that's by hiring. Sometimes that's by outsourcing. Sometimes that's by asking a friend or family member or colleague for a little bit of help. So one technique is to set things down temporarily. Another one is to delegate. Another one is to cut back, you know, to figure out, you know, I'm spending this much time on this thing, but could I, you know, could I spend less? Another one is to start looking at the way that things are organized in your schedule. One thing that I have found very often working with people on scheduling is that there's a ton of inefficiency that we don't see because we're up too close to it and we're just running all the time. We're not taking that time to step back and schedule. We feel like we can't take the time because there's not enough time already. But it's one of those things where you can actually make time by stepping back and looking at it and realizing, oh gosh, you know what? If I move this thing from Tuesday to Thursday, I would cut out 3 hours in the car. it's amazing the things you can find if you just step back and start looking at it from fresh eyes. Sometimes that's about showing it to somebody else and letting them point it out to you with fresh eyes. But those are a few things that you can do to start taking the pressure off right away. And I also just want to say, you know, we do not like the word no in our industry, but I want you to recognize that every time you say no to something, you are saying yes to something else. And that is, I think, such an important perspective shift to have, that when you say no to scheduling that extra client on Sundays, when you really want Sundays off, you are saying yes to yourself. You're saying yes to a walk with your dog. You're saying yes, maybe to seeing some friends you haven't seen in a long time. You're saying yes to mental health. You know, just every no is a yes. And also to recognize every yes is a no. When you say yes to something, recognize that there's something else that there won't be room for. And so always be cognizant of that. Before you take on something, is this more important than something else you're already doing? And just to always see that interplay between no and yes.
Yeah, I think every time I say yes to something, I'm potentially saying no to aspects of my role as a father. And that's made that decision super easy for me. I'm like, is this more valuable than spending time with my daughter? And there's not that many things that are, to be honest with you. And I do feel, for me anyway, and I'm going to hazard to guess that this is valuable for others as well, because most of the things I've shared about my journey this year have really resonated with people, that your forum membership and accountability is important here. I think it's easy to listen to a podcast show like this and be like, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea, but then you need to actually go take action. I remember you saying to me in a lot of our calls, like, how do you feel about everything? And I'm like, I don't feel great because this is really daunting and it's scary and I've never done anything like this before and I don't know where to start. But I had that accountability and I wrote it all down and I showed you, we did the times and you're like, there is no way that you can fit that in a week. But I was somehow trying at least. So I just want to add that accountability part is super valuable.
Yeah. It makes an enormous difference.
The other consideration that I worked through, and as you mentioned, was that I might be able to delegate and start the process of hiring someone to take some of the workload on. And so that's what we did. Well, that process as well. I remember you asking me how I was feeling about everything, and I was feeling pretty terrified because I'd never hired anyone before. I didn't know how I was going to train them. I didn't know how I was going to feel about delegating things. What exactly would this person be doing? How was I going to afford them? How was I going to find them? How do you even find someone to hire? There were so many unknowns, but we did it. And I literally have no idea now how I used to operate without a master schedule and people helping me out. There's more than one person now. I'm curious, though, what you might have to say to those listening. Do you have anything to add and slash or build on about the process that I went through, about things you've just shared with us? How does one get started building a team for their business?
Yeah, well, the funny thing is I think the first step is the same step as the first step for the master schedule, is just writing out everything that needs doing. And then if you decide that the way you're going to address there not being enough hours to do all those things is to hire, then it's about spending some time really thinking about what you should be doing versus what others should be doing. And that was a huge conversation you and I had too, right? Is just sort of trying to look at, you have been doing all the things, you can do all the things, but if you were going to gift yourself not having to do all the things, what things do you keep and what things do you delegate to someone else? And the general rule of thumb there is you keep the things that you have passion and proficiency for. You keep the things that you do really well, that you enjoy doing, and that you can do the best. There, and then you let go of the things that someone else can do as well or better, and that someone else is going to enjoy more than you do, and that allow you to do the things that that really are at the center of your skill set. I do want to say, though, that hiring's not the only answer, and it won't be the right answer for everybody, right? I think that, when you and I talked, Ryan, and what you were wanting to accomplish with ATA, you'd really gotten to the point where if you were going to do more things, that was really kind of the only option left. It wasn't going to be possible. But it's interesting, not everyone is an employer. Not everybody wants that. There are dog training businesses where that's really the next logical step and it's a good fit for the owner trainer, and it's what they want and it's their vision, and they have the skill set to manage people, or they're willing to learn the skill set to manage people, because it adds a huge layer of complexity. And recognizing that, you're bringing people on to help, but you're also bringing a whole new task and role on, which is manager. But there are plenty of dog training businesses where, the desire, the preference is to remain a one woman or one guy show. And that is completely fine too. If you've hit the limit of what's possible there, other options are things like raising rates or changing service structure. And it depends on your goal. If you hit sort of the limit of what you can manage on your own, but you're not making the money that you want to make, or you're not helping the number of people that you want to be able to help, or your schedule is way too full. I mean, there are all sorts of different ways of solving the problem once you kind of identify what the goal is, what you want out of this. And so sometimes, some of our Thrive members are working on making more money with less, fewer hours. Some of them are working on figuring out ways to serve a wider, a larger number of dogs and their people without adding more time into their schedule. You have to get kind of clear on what you want to be doing, what's important to you, and then we can find the right solution. Is it hiring? Is it changing your rate structure? Is it changing your service structure? Is it changing policies? There's all sorts of different, kind of puzzle pieces that we can then play with.
Yeah, I think accountability is helpful there again. I remember
episode
150 of Susan, I decided to say on the podcast that I want to be able to step away from ATA in a couple of years. I don't plan to. I don't even want to. I just want to be able to in case life demanded a trip overseas to see our family in an emergency or something like that. Or I just needed to recharge the battery and have some self-care for a month or two with my family. And I forgot where I was going with that.
the accountability part and the...
Yes. Yeah. So I said it on the podcast to create accountability, and I know that we've taken some next steps now with ATA, and it's, once again, it's scary and I don't know how I'm doing it, and there's anxiety there, but I've got that vision of where I'm going in my mind consistently. And then after that, want to free my time up to do more training and be sat at a computer less. So that is something that I think about every week, if not every day. Yeah. That reminds me that if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And,
right.
And there's going to be challenging times to get there, but that is where I'm trying to get to.
Can I just say though that I think it's so cool that you have been so open about that and your process and, you know, your milestones with every, you know, in your blog and in this podcast and you know, in the social media. But you've been so open about both the milestones and the achievements, you know, like that first weekend off and you know, how good that felt and how emotional that felt, and also the, you know, the fears and the challenges and all of that. And I just think that that is such a tremendous service to the members of your community and to, you know, our industry at large, because one of the things that, like I said, I mean, I've been trying to tell trainers one at a time that they're not the only one feeling this. But I wonder now how much they believed me, because it's amazing. You get into Thrive and people start sharing it and it's like all of a sudden, like, oh, okay, I'm really not the only one who feels like this. And somehow that just lightens the load so much. And then being able to work through the challenges together and get through the fear together and to celebrate, you know, it's been incredible watching members celebrate each other's successes and then getting inspired and like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. And it's just so amazing. And I think for you to be doing this is huge, because I think so often it's such an isolating industry and trainers sit around, you know, in our individual pockets, and we watch others and we think, well, they look like they've got it all together. They've got all their stuff together. There's, you know, they've got it dialed in. And so, you know, for someone with your profile to share that, yeah, no, you know, we're all the same, and it's, you know, there are challenges and growth is hard and change is hard. And I just think it's just really, really wonderful that you're sharing your story in this way. So people don't just hear it from me that they're not alone, that they hear it from someone that, you know, that they know and that they trust and, you know, and who's built something amazing, that, you know, it's still a challenge.
Well, I worry sometimes that on this animal training podcast, we talk about mental health to a level that people maybe don't want to hear from. But at the end of the day, if we help one person with all of these conversations, that is meaningful to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, just preparing for this podcast, I cried thinking back over the last year. Like, it has not been easy. For anyone who's been a parent, you'll know what people told me before I became a parent. You know, I didn't go to puppy school before someone was born. And people said, oh, you're not going to have any time, right? I'm like, I logically understand what that means. That's very different than living out the contingencies of this morning. Veronica messaged me at 5:30 this morning going, Ryan, where's the link? And I was like, oh, my God, I thought it was 2 hours later. And I'd already been up since 2:30 and had two cups of coffee at 5:30 in the morning because Summer did not want to sleep last night. And then I'm impressed at the clarity that I've been able to articulate in this podcast. Thank you, caffeine. But yeah, thank you for acknowledging that. And I also want to put a shout out to the Animal Training Academy community, because yeah, maybe I can share these things to help others, but I couldn't have done it without the support of our community. I know when I first shared about saying no, I got Jennifer Shryock reached out to me personally. Kathy Sadeo sent me something super helpful. And I just got a flood of personal messages, and I needed that. So I've created a community that serves others, but I also use it. And for anyone in the community that reached out to me, there's too many to name, but I just want to share acknowledgement for our community. And also I shared stuff publicly outside of our membership. So a lot of people reached out to me there as well. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I needed it. I offer it when people need it, but I also needed it at that time and continue to. Something else that's going to be continued is this episode. It's got a to-be-continued element to it. As continuing to follow your guidance, so I've now started working with a marketing subject matter expert to hopefully significantly streamline components of that part of my business, a part that I don't really enjoy that much. I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast can resonate with not enjoying marketing that much, but maybe you can.
You are not alone.
And I'm excited to continue on with this into the rest of 2021. Veronica, I don't say this lightly, but your contribution and guidance has not only helped save ATA, but also me. My mental health from the sheer amount I was trying to achieve last year was not in a good place. I felt hopeless and scared, and that's why you helped save me as well. So thank you so much for that. I've got tears in my eyes as I say that.
Me too. It means so much to me. And it's why I do what I do, because I care so much about, you know, all of us who are out there trying to make lives better for dogs. So thank you for doing what you do. And it means so much to me to play any role in keeping you out in there doing it. I do want to just say, too, that whatever role I played, you're the one going out and making it happen, right? It doesn't matter what the advice or guidance is if it's not followed. And so I hope you just continue to celebrate all that you are accomplishing. You're awesome.
Yeah, and me includes my wife, Sapphire, and our animals, and my mum, and I've got a great support team here on the ground in New Zealand as well. Ross Jordan, a local business mentor I have. Final words for today, and for those listening, Veronica, who are running their own business, might have resonated with the topics we talked about here today. Final words for them, and remind them how DogBiz might be able to help them out.
The final words are to remember that what you do is so deeply, deeply valuable. You make an enormous difference in the lives of dogs and the people who love them. And to really take a moment to hear those words, that this is not a hobby. This is, just because you're passionate about it and you love doing it doesn't mean that it doesn't have tremendous value that you deserve to make a living doing, so that you can be doing it for that much longer. And so whatever it takes to make that long-term sustainable for you, please gift yourself that, to recognize that what you do is a huge contribution to the world, and to thank you for doing it. If there's anything that we can do to support you in that and keep you doing it longer and help you enjoy it that much more, we are always here and we always love to hear from you. You can learn all about what we do, the classes that we offer, the consulting that we do, the Thrive Group coaching program. You can learn all about that at dogbizsuccess.com. You're always warmly welcome to reach out. There are real people behind this, and we're happy to take any questions, help any way we can. If you think that the group coaching modality might be something that you are interested in, you can join the wait list on our website so that you will know and have first access when we open for 2022 in early November.
Wonderful. We will, of course, link to all of that in the show notes as well. Veronica, this has been hopefully a very meaningful episode for those listening. It has been for me. So from myself and on behalf of everyone listening, we really appreciate you taking the time to come and hang out with us again at Animal Training Academy. Thank you so much.
It is my true honor. I'm so glad to be here.
We do, of course, really appreciate all of you tuning in today as well. And if you have enjoyed this episode and you were interested in carrying on the conversation about working with our animals in the most positive, funnest, choice-rich ways, then as mentioned at the start of this episode, the Animal Training Academy community is waiting for you. Head on over to www.animaltrainingacademy.com and click on the membership button in the main menu to learn more about what members are describing as the Netflix social media platform for behavior geeks. That's it for this episode, though. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks again so much, everyone, for listening. You'll hear from us again soon.